Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. Well, everyone, it's another episode coming to you from the road.
Yeah, and yes.
Actually, this is going to be our kind of format for the rest of the year because, well, currently you're joining us on a bit of a European adventure. If you missed last week's episode, we're out in Europe giving it large in our GT3s. We then have a live event as soon as we get back to the UK.
We do.
And then we're off to Australia any minute. We're going to be doing a whole lot of episodes from Australia. So God knows when we'll see the studio next.
Is it really going to be that long?
It's going to be a while. We might pop there once or twice before Australia. But I mean, most of the episodes until Christmas are going to be out of the studio.
Wow.
It's quite exciting, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
feels very good.
You know, wow, what, anything could happen.
Anything can happen.
Well, anyway, right now you are joining us in Austria in the Steyr Schlossl Hotel.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Which is right next to the Red Bull Ring.
Uh-huh.
And we have literally just driven off the circuit to the hotel. I mean, we've just finished our Pirelli P0 experience, track day, in our cars. We're both still a little bit clammy and sweaty from the experience.
And tired.
Very tired. This could be a shorter episode than usual. We're both desperate to eat a schnitzel.
Stop going on about schnitzel all day.
Schnitzel and a strudel. It's really the only reason I come to Austria. But that and the great driving modes and the epic track. So yeah, just to bring up speed, in case you missed last week's episode or the latest main channel video. Yeah, Tony and I, big adventure with the GT3s. But the primary purpose was to come here to take part in this Pirelli P0 experience. And what is a P0 experience? It's essentially a fancy track day. So it is your usual track day, but in epic locations. They have manufacturer partners that bring along cars that you can test drive and experience. So today there was a McLaren Artura, a DBX 707, and that new Praga thing.
Yeah.
Ben Collins was there. They often have like recognizable people knocking around. There's a really nice lunch. You know, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
Track day plus is what we'll call it. But we were coming to have a go in our GT3s. My first track day, not just in my GT3, in any GT3.
Wow.
So, I bought a car really aimed at going on track. I mean, I know it's a road car, but...
Put a manual gearbox in it and comfort seats.
In no roll cage and standard road tyres.
Roll cage, yeah.
And went, off we go. Let's go to a track. But, no, I mean, yeah, I said it when I bought the car. I didn't really intend on doing any track days. It's not why I bought the car. But obviously, it's a bit of a silly thing to say and do. It's like buying... Come on, let's help me out here. It's like buying Nike running trainers and never running.
Fair.
I think it's almost worse than that, but it's the quickest my brain could work at 6 p.m. after a track day and 5 days on the road.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily as sharp as I can sometimes be, people.
Would you like to tell the ladies and gentlemen what your thoughts are now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we've got a lot to actually cover in this because, yeah, my first on-track experience in the GT3, it being my car, you being there. Dun, dun, dun. I don't really know where to start. I think Okay, so let's kick things off.
Yeah.
This is going to be raw, guys. It's going to be wrong. There's no BS. This is behind the glass.
Well, it has to be raw because, we've literally just left.
Oh, sorry, yeah. One take, raw emotion. Yeah. But no, what I mean is, like, I'm not going to pussyfoot around this. Like, I was a little intimidated upon arriving. You know, I have belief in my abilities behind the wheel.
Heck, yeah.
I spend a lot of time driving.
Absolutely.
On the road, I feel very comfortable, confident.
Competent. Everything.
Competent. The whole lot. Whichever word will come out of my mouth first. It put me in a single seater, like an F4 car or a go-kart. I'm like, I will literally believe that I could be the fastest person there. Even if Lewis Hamilton's there, I'll be like, I'll have a go.
I'll launch him.
Like, literally, and that maybe stems from wanting to be an F1 driver when I was young. However, long story short, I'm rambling. What I'm trying to get to is, in a road car, I, for some reason, have inherently been unconfident.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've never been able to figure it out. I think it's because I pride myself on being a fairly safe road driver.
You are.
I think, you know, when I started driving and all the driving I've done, I always err on the side of caution. I'm always overthinking what's around that bend. You know, like I'm a cautious, a brisk, but cautious road driver.
As everyone should be, by the way.
When I get on track, the thought of pushing the car hard, my muscle memory or brain goes to, oh yeah, but what if it lets go? Like, what if this steps out? And every single time that's happened, I've been totally fine.
Of course.
I've controlled the car. The car's controlled me. Like, nothing's happened.
No.
Worst case scenario, I've gone a bit wide on the exit.
Like, yeah.
So it's all in my head.
Yeah.
But every press launch, every experience where they're like, oh, you get to go out on track, I'm always like, I'm not going to enjoy it because I'm so below what I know I could do. The only experience
I've had... You talk yourself down quite a lot.
Well, in my own head.
Yeah.
You know, I won't break lay. I won't do... the only time when I think I've gone like, oh, I've done all right there, is years ago we went to Las Vegas and had one of those arrive and drive experiences at the Las Vegas circuit. And we got a coach, and usually you have a little instructor next to you or whatever. And they're always like, break, turn in. This guy was like, I'm going to make this guy shit hot. Maybe he realized like I'm not as incompetent as I suggested.
Yeah. He doesn't want to die, mate.
Mate, we were flat. Like, we were rapid, and I was like top of the timesheets. But I was like, actually, I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
No.
So yeah, arriving here today, knowing that we just done the trip we had, we'll touch on the fact that we went up Grossglockner, one of my favorite roads in Austria, the day before. Beautiful road. Done some fast road driving. I know your abilities on track. I was just like, oh, is it going to be that same case? Like, am I just going to be a bit overwhelmed by the experience? We arrived, there was an SF90 in the car park, 4 992 GT3 RSs, GT4 RS, a Project 8, like, you know, proper cars. I was thinking, I'm just not going to have fun. I'm going to be overwhelmed. I'm going to be looking in my mirrors the whole time. All I'll say, and we're going to get into so much more, and then we're going to come back to this, is by good Lord, I actually think I was quite quick today.
You was very fast.
Look, I actually, like, from lap one, and it helped that we'd spoken a bit about lines. I know the track so well, having watched it on F1, you know, watched the Grand Prix around the circuit since I was 7 years old, played it on the PlayStation a million times, been here 3 or 4 years ago. Like, I was very confident with the track.
Yeah.
But the car is just so confidence inspiring. Like, it wants you to brake as late as possible. It wants you to turn in aggressively and to the point. It wants you to get on the power as quickly as it can.
Yeah.
It comes alive the faster you go, rather than what was in my head, that kind of assumption that the faster I go, the more out of control I'm going to get.
Just going to snap.
Just be a bit leery, and I'm going to be overdriving it. This was like just coming to me. Every time I went out, the car was like, more.
Yeah, of course.
Give me the more.
Yeah.
You are nothing.
Yeah.
I am everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, every other experience I've had in a road car, after 4 or 5 laps, the brakes are starting to go, the tyres are overheating, you've got to come in and cool off. Okay, you've done 3 runs, that's it. Because don't forget, most of my track experiences, because I don't do many track days, have been at press launch events.
Of course.
And you have limited running.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm here with my own car. I just kept going.
Just go flat.
And like, don't forget, you know, this isn't an ad. The main channel video is, but this isn't an ad. But the standard P0s, I was on non-courses, non-trofeos.
Yeah.
They just kept going as well.
They were good, yeah. They were fine, yeah. Absolutely.
So we had a good day. But We'll come back to that because I've got a lot more that I want to delve into, the advice you gave me, how I feel I progressed during the day, and my overall thoughts about my car on track. Tell me about your experience, because obviously you've been out in your car a few times. You hadn't done Red Bull Ring. Talk me through what you thought about the day.
Well, I wasn't nervous, obviously. I didn't know the track. I'd never, ever been here before. I'd seen some YouTube videos, obviously. So I always have this rule when I do track days is I never go out as soon as the green light goes at 9 o'clock or 9:30.
Okay. Why? Because your adrenaline's too high? Like, no, you're too excited?
Because I always let like people go out first. Just let them go out and get, because everyone's like all excited when the track goes. Yeah, buzzing. Yeah,
green light.
And there's always like yellow flags and red flags and stuff. So I always give it like 20 minutes, half an hour, let everyone go out, and then I'll go out. And so I went out, obviously, about half an hour later. I knew roughly where it went. So I'd done some like brisk sighting laps, I guess, trying to figure out the track. And then I'd done a couple of fairly quick ones to get my tyres hot, come in on my tyre pressures, and then back out again. And I actually got it quite quick, like, because it's only like 6 or 7 corners, but they're quite technical. And as I told you, or we're going to speak about it, but it's all about the exit and the braking. You have to make sure you brake properly. If you brake late, then you mess everything up, essentially. So I was making sure I was doing that. And the car doesn't surprise me because I obviously had the previous cars and they're similar. They've very similar traits. Not the same. This current car has a bit more downforce. You can actually feel it. And the turning's better, essentially. But I've had lots of experience in GT cars, so I wasn't phased at all, and just got my head down, basically.
Yes, you did.
I did.
By about lap 5, you were setting lap records. Yeah. Who's in the black car? It was amazing to be not on track and watching people's reactions to Tony just launching everybody and just setting the track alight. But I think, yeah, so for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with Red Bull Ring, it's a simple and small track. I think the F1 cars are here at qualifying trim sub 1:05.
1:02, I think.
Yeah,
something
it's
like
a
that, yeah.
Very short lap, but that means that every corner is critical because it's, well, the start of your big straight that you're going to be on. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure you could count some corners that we don't really think of as corners, but largely there's, what, 8 turns or something like that?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really steeply uphill, a couple of them aggressively downhill. It makes it really fun, and it's definitely a place where I found, you know, my confidence and enjoyment grew throughout the day because you think, okay, this is quite straightforward, but actually as you start to evolve, you find loads of places to make up time. And so that's what I want to touch on. So we did our thing in the morning. I was working with Pirelli a bit, doing some content for their channels. I was trying to plot out my video. I'd been out a few times, like no pressure runs, gone, oh, actually, this is all right. And then I said, oh, look, Tony, would you just jump in with me? I didn't want him to critique me, but I just wanted to kind of get his initial thoughts as to what I was doing, because as I say, I respect how fast Tony can go on track and what a good driver he is. And it would be stupid of me to be up my own bum enough to be like, oh my God, I'm a automotive YouTuber. Like, I don't need advice. Like, I'm going to take whatever advice I could get. So
you're actually, I hate complimenting you.
It's so nice.
I can't, but you were actually like, you surprised me firstly, and you were quick out the box. Like, you genuinely surprised me. Like, I know we always rib each other up.
We joke about it a lot.
But
it's the first time we've been on track together.
Yeah, you genuinely. I mean, obviously, I know you can drive. I've been on many trips with you, so I know you're not stupid. But you genuinely surprised me how fast you were anyway. But there was just like little points. Obviously, when I got in the car with you, there was little points that you knew that you could improve on and that I already knew. So it would be silly for me not to sit next to you and say, this is what I do.
It was super helpful because, yeah, you were saying like, oh, you know, you can carry a lot more speed into here, or I turn there or push out there, and just all little things that I hadn't considered or hadn't experienced, and that just, yeah, opened up my lap a little bit. Whilst I learned how to maybe be a little bit faster in the car, definitely didn't learn how to make a track day video because that was like our first bit on camera because we've been farting around. I was like, oh, I might as well try and film this because obviously it's quite a nice interaction, like Tony jumping in with me.
You're slapping.
Obviously, GT3s, really loud.
Really loud.
And on track, super loud. And then you got helmets on. So inherently, one shouts at the other person because
we can't hear each other.
You can't hear each other. You're going, yeah, just break it! Which is totally normal. So I had the mics. Like, I knew we needed mics and I had them like next to our chin. And so I got back and be like, I'll just check this footage. And it's literally like, so you, what do you want to do? I
was
like, oh
my God. Was it that bad?
So bad. And I'm going, so that had to be scrapped. But it doesn't matter. It was a cool experience. There was a lot of things. And that kept happening throughout the day. So we had various moments where we went out, one after each other. I came in with you. And I felt like by the end of the day, I was there or thereabouts. We went out for one final run, no cameras. This classic, famous, what I thought was my best run, no cameras. But I said, I've been filming all day.
Yeah.
Got to like 5 p.m. I was a bit knackered.
Half four, thank you.
I just want to do a run with no cameras. And we went, you were sort of 7 or 8 tenths, would you say?
I went behind you for a couple of laps first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come in front of you and I wanted you to, you'd already got it, mate. You already understood, but I wanted you to see from, because it's always like you said earlier on, and I know we haven't said it yet, but it's always better when you're learning, when you can see with your own eyes or like you said, when you come and sat next to me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I learned. This is exactly what Archie taught me. It's exactly the same. So the stuff that I learned was from Archie, obviously, as you know. So he was very good at sitting next to me. He would tell me what I was doing. Once he got me up to speed, he'd sit next to me, tell me what I was doing wrong, and leave me alone. So, right, go on, and goes, and then I'll come back in with you in a couple of hours and see if you prove. That's what he'd done.
Yeah.
That wasn't too dissimilar what I'd done with you. So there was a, and I'm not a racing driver by any shakes. I just...
But you were quick in the GT3 and I was in the GT3 as well. So I might as well ask you, why are you so quick?
Yeah, so I'm not sitting here saying I'm the best driver ever or I'm a racing driver. I just know because that's what I've been shown. So so it would be silly for me not to show you. So by the end of the day, there was a noticeable difference in your speed. So when we swapped over at the end of the day, I wasn't going flat, but I was... going fast, mate. Like, I was genuinely going fast.
We were overtaking a lot of people.
I was genuinely, like, pedalling, essentially. Yeah. So, and you've done really well. Like, you've done everything that you should be doing.
Yeah, no, and I was massively enjoying it. So, I think, yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. I got to the end of the day going, oh, I'll do that again. that was my... takeaway, which I didn't, I came here for work. I was working with Pirelli to be part of their content, but also showcase the event and share it all with you and highlight, because it's the third Pizzo experience I've been to. And I do think they're awesome. I've done one on the F-Type R and the 360 and they've been mega. So I do recommend them. Like they are cool events and often it's a good group of people. So that's why I was coming. I thought I'd probably do 10 laps across the day.
You didn't do 10.
I did about 40.
I mean.
I was, and I was kind of like, when can we go out next?
But that was the car, that's the car bit.
Well,
that's the car bit.
This is what we have to touch on because I knew it and we've spoken about it and maybe it's boring to say.
I've told you.
And last week everyone banged on about Porsche the whole time. I cannot fathom that we drove 1,500 miles to get here. We did a couple of days on autobahns. We went up Grossglockland. We haven't even touched on that yet.
No.
Did at least a day, because 2 half days, proper driving through Austrian back roads. Then we spent an entire day thrashing our cars on track. Like,
Yeah, yeah.
Genuinely, without blowing smoke up our butts, I reckon we were probably two of the faster drivers on track today. Like, obviously, you never know because you're never quite on track at the same time. But no one came past either of us throughout the day. So we were definitely quick. So therefore, we were hammering our cars. And because of the style of the track, big braking zones.
Huge.
Uphill turn one, uphill turn two, downhill turn three.
I love turn three.
See, I love turn one. Turn one is my vibe.
I do like turn one as well.
By the end of the day, I was getting why you like turn three.
Yeah.
When you start doing turn three, which is the downhill right-hander, I was starting to reel it. But my two favorites is uphill turn one and the last two corners. I felt quick in those last two corners. I know you were watching me, so you weren't focusing on you, but I always felt like I was catching you in those last two corners because you weren't concentrating as much.
Yeah, I was watching to see
where I was,
where you were. Curbs. I was.
But
watching.
That meant I was like, I'm on it. Here we go. Like,
and do you know what, mate? I tell you what, that is harder than being behind you.
Watching the mirrors.
It's hard. Well,
now you know why everyone else spins off in front of you, mate.
Because what
happens... you're scaring the shit out of them.
I mean, I just go piling in. Because what happens is when you're watching for someone behind, mirrors up, you miss all your breaking points, your lines. So I'm trying to do that. And I'm watching you because... I don't care about me. I was trying to make sure that you was...
I know. You were coaching.
It was very good.
All I would say is, this is constructive feedback, I hope. Mm. When you do go behind someone, they are experiencing what you just experienced.
Get out of the way then. Just get out of the way.
But you are 2 millimeters from their bumper and it is super intimidating. And that's why today... people in front of you genuinely spun off, went off the track, nearly crashed. Because I would say on a track day, you probably could give it a beat or two when overtaking someone. Because you're not setting any times.
No, but I want to keep my speed up.
I get it. But it is a fun day out.
Yeah.
And if you lose that lap or that flow of corners... you've got the next lap to do it, mate.
Yeah.
Or you've got the rest of the day to do it.
Yeah.
And I would be nervous. I would be nervous of someone either going, screw this guy, or totally panicking. And that's where you don't want unpredictability on track.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worry that maybe it could create unpredictability.
Yeah.
You know what you do. I see you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but I am watching as well. I'm watching them. So
but you
I'm
don't
half,
know what they're going to do.
No, but I half predict what they're going to do and I do it on the road.
Yeah.
So I'm half predicting like that instant we had with the Porsche. I know you said it was close, but I was watching him.
Everyone got out of it. It was fine.
Yeah, I was watching everything he was doing.
Of course, and you were ready to slam on the brakes.
Correct.
But my point being, I was already there. I was all the way over on the other side of the track.
I was going to go on the grass.
And I had lifted off massively and I was just like, I'll just find my way. And then you all got tangled up in this near death. And I just cruised on by.
It was
like that Lewis Hamilton at Silverstone when he cruised up the inside.
With Leclerc and Perez.
Yeah, it was literally that moment. And the best part was, Tony had overtaken me two corners before and then I just sailed on past like, idiots.
It was funny that.
So that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, You've been super helpful to me today and I've appreciated all of your feedback. That's my only thing is I think on a track day, you probably don't have to give people such a hard time
but
when you're coming through.
But that's all the track days that I've done. That's what people do.
It's an RMA mentality.
Yeah, but that's...
It's an RMA mentality.
Yeah.
I think on a day like this, which was... load of different abilities, load of different skill sets, some people on test drives, you know, all these things like that. I think RMA days are particularly aggressive and are particularly hustly and you better get on with it because I'm here, like move.
Yeah.
When you're not on an RMA day with those lads, and that, by the way, is the track day organizer in the UK and Europe, one of the most famous and one of the highest level.
Yeah.
But when you're on something like this, which is a way more slow pace, I just worry for you. I don't worry about you. Like, I know you've got the ability. I know you're predicting what's going to happen. And I know you also know how to stop the car if you need to.
Well, lucky that, because if I didn't, I'd have piled it in the back of you.
Literally. Oh my God, a couple of times. So you're going too slow. I'm just going to nudge you along the road. But come back to my point because we got distracted. I can't believe we've done all of that all of this stuff over the last few days, then this day, and the car was gagging for more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, so hard on the brakes, so hard on the tyres. I probably munched a few gears, I'll be honest.
Like, suspension, you did when I was in the car.
Yeah.
You're flapping.
We're going to come back to that at some point. But, you know, I definitely didn't nail every gear shift. Like, so I tried to brake my car essentially today. And it seems totally fine.
Yeah.
Loved life. Yeah, we were all over the curbs, by the way. You said suspension. We were rocking the curbs.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
Entry, exit, everything. Like, we were all up on them curbs. There's a part of me which is like, let's see when it gets back to Portia Guildford and goes for a bit of a health check. Like,
be fine.
But you've replaced pads recently, brake pads.
Yeah, brake pads, yeah.
So you think I'll probably might need to do pads?
No, you should be right.
That was a big day. Yeah. Anyway, so it's now going to do the 1,500 miles home, and I think it should be fine. Obviously, you know, we've had issues with both of our cars, and we spoke.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
About that last week, but that was the bit that I was blown away by and enjoying the most today. That I knew I could just walk downstairs, put my helmet on and go.
Yeah.
I never think about anything. And, you know, we saw there's a 430 Scud today, 430 convertible as well. Guy named Julio Quadrifoglio, a really nice man. I didn't see the project out that much, but there was some stuff which you could tell was probably not quite able to do that. Loads of people putting their bonnets up.
Yeah.
You know, loads of people on cooling laps.
Yeah.
And we were just going.
Yeah.
Like, and that is, now that I've experienced it in the flesh, I get why people get hooked on that.
Yeah, they get hooked on the days, and that's why normally when you go to a track day or you go to the Nürburgring, it's all Porsches, because they literally just take the punishment.
Take the abuse.
Ferraris, Lamborghinis, McLarens, all of these other cars, they don't take the abuse that Porsches do. It's fact.
And also, you know, obviously we're here in a very fortunate position to have two of the best GT products, but let's just talk about that 718 Cayman GTS, the green one.
Yeah.
That guy was giving it large today.
Yeah,
he was really on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Having a blast, flying, and that is a more accessible Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of older gens. I met a very nice guy who was there in a 997 Gen 1 GT3, having a blast. He did have to watch his temps and things like that a bit more. But what I'm saying is,
couple of turbo S's.
Yeah, easy for us to sit here and go, like, oh, it's just amazing. Like, what I mean is that it seems to be that Porsche thing has rung true for the last 15, 20 years. Whilst we were bashing them or have bashed them a bit in recent times, at least that whole premise of come and do a track day and it's kind of going to keep delivering rang true today for sure.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the differences in our cars then? Because obviously this has been the running joke for a while. It was in last week's main channel video and the episode, you know, this whole premise of who's got a better car. And
but we've always wound each other. We have always wound each other up about cars.
But here it comes to the point.
Yeah.
This was the whole premise, was to figure out on this trip, not just today, on this trip, the differences in our car, not which is better, but the differences, because you bought a car, not specced by yourself, but you bought a car as track focused as you can get a GT3.
Correct, because that's what I like.
You want to tick every box that said, I'm going to use this car on track.
Correct.
So just to recap, even though we've mentioned it before, bucket seats, roll cage, P0 courses in the minute. When you got it, it was on Dunlops or something like that?
It was on Dunlops,
Dunlops, yeah. And you want to put the Cup 2s on next?
When these courses are done then I'll put the Cup 2s on.
You know, but always a real track-focused tyre, yeah. Bits of carbon in there. A PDK, like, so, you know, all the bits. Where I went on purpose from factory, as touring as you could get, comfort seats, manual, no cage, standard P0s for a Turbo S, no carbon fiber, like, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because I want to enjoy the car on the way here, which I really think I did.
You did.
We both did, but.
Yeah.
But on the Grossglockner, incredible Alpine road in Austria, I think one of the best driving roads in Europe because of scenery and road.
Yeah.
It's a combination of the two. And the fact that if you go up at 6 a.m., no one else is there.
Yeah.
I did admit to you that when you're really getting into those twisty mountain roads, I'm overthinking the gears.
Yeah.
I'm definitely there. I said to you, I said, I kind of see like when you're really getting on it, I'm not right there. Like I'm like, oh, should I be in second here? Or should I? Because you don't know what's ahead of you.
Yeah.
So you don't know what's around the next corner. Yeah. So often you're in the wrong gear or it's a bit too late to go for the gear. And so I said, okay, you know, I've loved every second of this so far, but we're going quite fast on this road now. And I put my hands up, but I've got the seats that I love. I'm so comfortable getting in and out. I've got loads of space behind the seats to put stuff, even though you keep pointing out I'm not putting anything back there.
Nope.
Everywhere we've stopped, everyone has come up and complimented the color. Everyone has come and asked me about my color. And
is that true?
1,000,000%, mate.
Okay.
In Stuttgart, on the in Frankfurt, and those roads we went to, they all came out and asked the color. Today, everyone was asking about the color, and the Grossglockner, they were all asking about the color. No one notices a black GT3. Anyway, I'm not here to attack you. On track, I actually found the opposite. I was worried after the Grossglockner yesterday. I thought, am I going to have the same experience on track where I'm just always doing too much? But no, because you know you're gearing, or you figure out you're gearing pretty quickly. I honestly loved being in that manual on track.
Yeah.
I thought it was mega.
Fair. I mean, I think as well, the track today helped from that point of view because you're not using many gears on that track in general. There's lots of gears, lots of tracks where you use a lot more of the gearbox, essentially. So in your car, you was probably most of the time second, third, fourth, occasionally up into fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fifth was the most awkward.
Yeah.
Didn't like going in. I was like, oh, get over.
But apart from the main straight, you probably didn't need fifth.
Yeah,
no, the two straights, needed fifth. But apart from that, and I was the same, my second, third, fourth, fifth. And most of the time, I was third and fourth in my car.
Interestingly, we discovered later on in the day that our gearing was actually quite different, though.
Very different.
Obviously, you're 7-speed, I got a 6-speed.
Yeah.
And I was following a bit of your gearing advice to start with, and it worked great, but I realized actually to get maximum lap time, I was a step down.
You was a gear down.
Yeah. You know, by the end of the day, I was doing the last two corners in third, and that was the quickest way for me for sure.
Fair.
But on the tighter stuff, I needed to be in second where you were in third, right. Or, you know, so
yeah.
I was definitely a step down. That for sure helped me. So, and I don't think on track, okay, you had one less thing to think about in terms of gear changes when you know, focusing on braking and speed, corner speed and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think it made a huge difference between our lap times.
I think if you really push on, that's when it makes a difference. Because I still think there's too much going on. You know, I genuinely do think when we pushed on, I think you would lose up to a second a lap messing around with your gears.
Maybe. I could have done the no lift shifts, but it feels so unnatural to me. So, you know, and then roll kick. I mean, tyres were probably playing a part of it. You know, they probably were. They felt great. I definitely didn't feel at any point they weren't giving me what I needed, but there was an element of your tyres would have been a bit stickier.
Yeah, as Not initially, but definitely as they get hot, because obviously yours are normal road tyres, so they go off quicker. So they get to temperature and then they just fall off, whereas the stickier tyre holds the heat better. So from that point of view, once we'd done 5, 6, 7, 10 laps, then the tyre would play a part. But initial 3, 4 laps, I doubt it would make too much difference.
So were there any other cars there today that caught your eye that you thought, oh, I'd almost like to be having a go in that, or I'd rather be here? Because there was a Pista. There was a red Pista.
Yeah.
Knocking around.
Yeah, yeah.
SF90.
I only went on track once in my Pista. Very, very fast, obviously. But, you know, I've said it so, you cannot beat a Porsche on track. Mm. You just can't, because the Ferraris get hot. I took my AMG GTR on track as well. My Lambo Perth had been on track, but you just can't beat a Porsche. So it's
I wonder how a GT Black Series would have been today. I think you would have had quite a lot of fun in that.
It just would have been so fast.
I think it would have been unbelievably fast.
Yeah, it would have been really fast.
Because from memory, that has an unbelievable front end as well.
Yeah, because a power track.
Yeah, 2RS. Because there were...
Again.
We complained a few times because we'd be launching, as you said, Turbo S's, 600 LTs, whatever. Get to a straight, they'd just piss off.
Well, I had a really good run with a 600 LT over about, I'd say between 5 to 10 laps, where originally he was sort of nearly at the end of the straight and I was at the start of the straight. So there was quite a big gap and I'd just start to reel him in. But where I noticed where I wasn't reeling him in and I felt he was probably getting away a bit was the straights.
Mm.
Because it's fast 600.
Of course, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I just started reeling him in on the brakes on them two lefts as well. And the downhill braking, I was getting him there as well. So, but it took me like a long time to catch him up. Because of the straights, it's so fast.
He was a quick driver as well. I saw him out a couple of times.
Yeah,
he was a very quick driver.
Yeah, he was
too,
good. So. Yeah, for sure.
You know, but I'm sort of half with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Project A, I would have loved to have been having a go in, even though I say I didn't see him going around that much. I would have had liked to have had a go in a few of the Ferraris. The Scud looked damn cool. SF90, I would have been intrigued by. The new RSs, we were both a little disheartened with, because it seemed like maybe they were early, like maybe the guys had just taken delivery of them. Like none of them were pushing that hard. I wanted a 992 3RS to come around me so fast in a corner where I couldn't believe that it was, you know, I wanted to be like, wow, that's insane. Like how he's got so much more grip. But they all seem to be sort of at 6 or 7 tenths, which is, hey, look, that's fine.
Yeah.
Do what
I'm
you
not,
do.
I'm not sure that would happen. Not round our car, because the grip levels are different, obviously, but going round the outside of someone on road tyres is really hard, mate.
Yeah, but surely that added downforce and grip, and the fact that they can set up a little bit more in terms of their dampers and all the configurables on their steering wheel. I just think if you had someone real shit hot in one of those 3RSs, I know you like to give it large, but what is the point in that 3RS if it's not able to launch us? It would have to be. I know it's not massive differences, but also don't forget you banged on forever saying, don't care about 992 GT3. It's not going to be a huge difference to the previous generation, like whatever.
I didn't bang on forever.
You did for a long time, mate. I can find all the episodes. You went on for a long time saying, how much better is it? It's not. It's just double jointed, whatever, you know. So
What I actually said was, I know what the difference will be.
You just said it'll be incrementally better. It'll just be a little bit better. Every year, it's a little bit better.
Well, that's what they are.
But it's miles. You were miles quicker than all the 991.2s today.
All the 991.2
GT3s, you were miles quicker in your car today than they were.
Yeah, but I was... Yeah, so the incremental better would have been from an RS.
Yeah, so... Okay.
But even
long story short, if that 3RS cannot be quicker than you, Tony, with you behind the wheel of both, if you cannot be quicker,
I would be quicker
in a 3RS than in your GT3, that car has no point. So what I'm saying is, It could have happened today. If
not running outside of me, no chance.
No, Tony, stop being competitive.
No, no, I'm telling you.
If you were in a 3RS and I was in my car, you could have done what you did to me on the inside of that long sweeping left.
Of course.
At an even faster pace. And I would have gone, oh my God, that's nuts. It's got so much grip. Look at the change in direction.
Yeah, but
that's what I wanted.
There wouldn't be between the two cars around here, because it's such a short lap, it wouldn't be night and day. It wouldn't drive off. No chance.
The double right-hander, the last two corners of the lap, I would hope and expect that thing would be absolute rocket ship through there.
Fair.
Glued to the ground. And I would want to have followed that car in with you behind the wheel, or an actual pro, a legitimate racing driver who's giving it everything, because I think I'd sit behind it and go, oh my God, that thing looks amazing.
So what would you think the time difference would be?
I don't care. I mean visually.
But the way you're talking, like, it'll absolutely drive off and you never see it again.
No, because sitting behind you today, I could see you slowly eking away and I could see where you were doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, none of that is not achievable. I just don't have the confidence and the experience that Tony does to nail that now. Like, I'm building up to it, but I can see what he's doing.
Of course.
But on the road, I've seen 992 3RS do things that I'm like, wow. And I just wanted that car to do something today. It's not going to break a million miles later. It's not going to leave a corner a million miles faster, but it should be able to carry more speed and more grip into and through a corner. Well, it has to be.
Well, it absolutely would. That's for sure. But going round the outside of someone that's already quite quick is...
You're making this very personal about you.
No, no, no.
How many times did you go around the outside of somebody today?
All the while.
Exactly. There you go. Point proven. So I am not you. I am not the quickest guy on track. I'm not racing everyone that comes up to me. I would happily have let a 3RS come around the outside of me today, and I would have been impressed by it. That's what I'm saying. This is not a personal... You're turning this into, I wouldn't have a 3RS come around me. I'll be just as quick. He's not going to be any quicker than me. But I admit, two pros in a GT3 and a 3RS will be very close. The lap time will be very close. I agree. I am not a pro. I wanted a pro to come past me in the 3RS so that I could go, wow, that car's impressive.
Yeah, there wasn't a pro in the 3RS, was
there? That was my point.
But even if there was a pro in the car, we both already said, you were going very well today. It's hard to go around the outside of someone's comp. You was going fast, mate. So how much fast? I mean, he'd just go straight.
But maybe he wouldn't.
But he would.
This could be one of those classic moments where you say this, then in 6 months' time you drive a 3RS and you go, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Race car in slicks, different matter. Obviously.
Of course.
If it's a cup car, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But not. No, it's still got road tyres.
Yeah, but you know, it's got all that wing. And.
But at 70 mile an hour, how much downforce is it making at 70
like
mile an
600
hour?
Kilometers, 600 tonnes or something. Look,
no, it's not 70. At 180, it's 800 kilos of downforce. At 180 mile an hour. So at 60 mile an hour or 70 mile an hour, it's not creating much more downforce than our car.
Let's
a little
see.
Bit more.
Downforce. I'm just annoyed by you, the fact that you're just... Cause
don't be annoyed. I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to have a conversation.
You're making the point.
I'm trying to have a conversation.
No, I get what you're trying to say. There isn't as much difference as I would think or assume.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also get the feeling that you're thinking that I'm saying to you,
no,
a 3RS would launch you. Like, no. You know, like hearing it as like a real personal attack, which is not what it is.
Absolutely not. That's absolutely not how I've interpreted it. I would just say that even a 3RS for a pro driver in it today weren't coming right round the outside of you. No chance. He would have.
Well,
that's
very kind of you to say.
No, because he just wouldn't have, because he wouldn't have been able to. He wouldn't have been able to get enough speed to go round you.
900 pounds. What's pounds? Pounds to kilos. LB to kg. At 100 miles an hour. 400 kilos at
100.
100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I don't know what ours are. GT. Sorry, everyone.
So it's about 800 kilos flat out. So that's the, you know,
downforce.
That's the what they always quote.
Yeah, yeah. So that, yeah, 800 kilos is, you were right, at 170 odd, yeah, but at 100, yeah, it's 400 kilos.
Yeah.
So 992 GT3. Let's see if anyone's figured out the downforce figure. I'm not sure they have.
They might not have, no. I think the full downforce for our car is probably only 400 or 500 kilos, flat out.
Yeah.
Flat out. So there's probably 100 kilos or 200 kilos more downforce, but at 60 mile an hour, how much is that? That's what I'm saying. If they're both going around at 130 mile an hour, yes, I understand.
Maybe it goes back to classic me downplaying my abilities, and that actually a 3RS couldn't have been hugely amount faster to have blown my socks off. But that's what I was hoping.
Yeah,
I just wanted that to happen because I think it would have been cool. Maybe it couldn't have happened, and I understand where you're coming from. But yeah, no, aside from that, 4RS didn't do anything for me today.
No.
Yeah, I was very happy to be in our cars for all the reasons we listed above. So
4RS sounded good. I heard it right at the pitch straight a few times.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
It just bounces up. But there was a lot of cars that sound good because that pitch straight.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
The pitch straight, it just bounces off the walls, the noise. So that's really cool.
Would you come back to Red Bull Ring?
Absolutely.
It's a long way to come, but I do think it's worth it.
That's the problem. Like, it's too far to come. But I've honestly really enjoyed myself. I love the track. It's billiard smooth.
Would you like to come to a Grand Prix here? I think it'd be cool to come to see a Grand Prix here.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
I think it's such a picturesque setting, and it is a long way, but obviously you can make an epic road trip out of it, as we've done. You know, we've spent 3 or 4 days getting here, which you can do. You could even eat that out longer. It's just the drive home.
Yeah.
You know, which we've both got to do now, which feels a bit like...
Yeah, that's the problem.
I want to go to sleep.
Rattling up there. That's the only problem with our cars. We've said this already. Rattling up that autobahn, that engine revving its nuts off.
It's. I mean, we could just drive. We could just drive slowly on the autobahn.
What, we won't get home.
Could just drive at 80 miles an hour.
We won't get home.
We'll eventually.
Yep. Or we could trailer them and fly them.
Well, $2,500 later. No, thank you. I'll suck up the sound, listen to some podcasts. So just quickly before we wrap things up. So Gross Glockner,
loved
you had
it.
Been there before, but you'd forgotten. But yeah, loved it. We had an amazing experience. I want to shout out. This is all coming, by the way, in a... Well, I should say it's all coming in a video. Mm. Is it? Well, in case it's not, we went to visit Fat Mankai.
Filmed everything.
Yeah, I'll brief you on that later. Oh. Got a rather... Anyway, let's not get into it.
Slap it again.
Might be lawyers listening.
Oh, no.
I filmed a video. It's got to go somewhere, but I just don't know where and when.
In the bin.
Yeah, literally. GP Ice Race, which now hasn't happened for 4 years, which I keep attending the non-events, has rebranded. So it's now the Fat Ice Race, because FAT, iconic Porsche sponsor from the early 90s, I think, and maybe before that. They're FAT or Fat International. They're doing Fat Ice Race. But they've opened this cafe at the top of the Gross Glockner.
Very cool.
Oh, it's such a good spot. I mean,
yeah,
you didn't need an excuse to drive up that road, but now you got one.
Yeah.
I probably put an Instagram reel out by now describing it as the ultimate driving destination. Because, you get up there early, it opens at 8 a.m. We thought it opens at 9. That was my mistake. So we farted around for a while, but that was all right. We were driving. But yeah, get up early with the birds, do some amazing driving. You got the road to yourself. And then you stop off for delicious coffee, amazing hospitality, cool merch, delicious strudel. It was just the spot. And we were there for a couple of hours. We had some work to do. We just loved it, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then we had a great drive through Austria.
Yeah.
Where a lot of key Porsche things just went straight over your head. So,
literally.
Having visited Stuttgart, gone to the museum, had an amazing tour from Benny. We were then driving down from Gross Glockner, and obviously we went through Gmunt, which was the original home of Porsche, which I had to explain to Tony in the first place.
No idea.
And no jokes, from like 50 kilometers outside Gmunt, I'm coming up and I'm going, what's that up there? It's like an old 356. Like, whether it was real or not, I don't know, but genuinely a super early Gmunt 356, like one of the first ever Porsches, is just trickling down the road in front of us.
Freaked out, didn't you?
I freaked out. I've got to pull over. I want to talk to the guy.
Oh, what no.
A moment. We're here next to Gmunt. There's a Gmunt 356. I'm in my Porsche GT3. I nearly cried. literally, I could just see Tony be like, why is he driving so slow? Like,
yeah,
just get on with it. And then I pulled up, I was like, do you know what that was? And you were like, I don't care, let's keep going.
No interest at all. Yeah.
But no, that was a stunning drive. So we've had a good time of it. It's been a lovely epic trip.
Yeah.
I realized that it's been Porsche centric for all of you listening and watching.
And we do own two Porsches, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, we've been on a road trip in our Porsches. And I know loads of you like Porsches.
Yeah.
Like, you all pretend like you don't, you get bored of it. But anyway, normal service should resume next week for our live event from Vines BMW. So actually, I'm quite excited to nerd out on some BMWs.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably shouldn't go too hard on the BMWs.
I think they've got the new i5 there.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, we can have a look at it. I think they've got it in the showroom. Do you like them?
Maybe. You forget things so easily. I'd say when that car launched, I really like the look of it.
Yeah.
I think it's mega exciting. Okay, so they've got the new i5, and obviously to sort my X3 to you, but I'm just all over it. It's probably going to be a lot of BMW chat next week. So
how many Ferraris you bought this week? Us. That's the problem.
Well,
yeah.
I did put a bid in.
Oh, here we go, see?
Put a bid in an FF.
Right.
By this time, actually, have bought an FF. I could have genuinely bought an FF on collecting cars.
What about the Roma that's coming as well?
Yeah. Seem to be spending a lot of money on Ferraris at the moment. Watch this space, people. Yeah. Anyway, as we teased, a little bit of a shorter episode because we are knackered and there is a schnitzel calling from downstairs and I have a 16-hour drive tomorrow. So we're going to wrap things up. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully it wasn't too boring and too nerdy and too track-focused, but it was an experience we really wanted to share with you both. The video from our track day is going live on the main channel in a few days' time, depending on when you listen to this podcast. So go check it out. There's lots of funny clips and you'll get to see just how fast Tony is on track for all of you who think we're lying or he's just talking a big game. Oh, and let's see if I leave in the moment that he nearly plows into a few cars. But
I literally had to get out the brakes.
Oh, many times. It was all a bit scary. So yeah, you've got that to look forward to. But anyway, we'll be back with you, as I say, next week from Fines BMW for our live event. If you want to keep following us, subscribe to this channel. You can follow Tony at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most of YouTube. Yeah, I've gone on too long. We're going to wrap things up. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.